Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Mark Golovoy, a veteran executive in digital media and currently the B2B marketing leader for TripAdvisor's burgeoning restaurants business. So we talked to Mark from our studio in San Francisco about that journey, what he's learned from it, and what we can all take away from that. So here's our discussion with Mark Golovoy. So Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yep. So we actually have a lot to talk about, including a deeper dive into everything I just mentioned. But first, let's start with the present. So tell us a bit about yourself and TripAdvisor for the likely very few people out there who are unfamiliar with TripAdvisor.
Yeah, great. So Mark Golovoy, I've been the restaurants marketing leader for about a year now. And I came in really to expand our restaurants marketing and help owners understand how to get the most out of TripAdvisor and help us kind of form our strategy around content to educate owners and what we want to be kind of from an owner's perspective. We also care deeply about the diners on our site, so we focus heavily on that as a group as well, just making sure that when a diner comes to TripAdvisor restaurants, they find what they're looking for, they find great experiences, and that they keep coming back.
That's great. Now let's dive in a little bit deeper on restaurants and restaurants as a component of TripAdvisor's business. So the category seems to have grown greatly, recently on TripAdvisor. Many people obviously know TripAdvisor as a travel engine, a travel utility, which of course includes restaurants. But how has that kind of evolved into more of a, you know, local search and discovery engine with, you know, broader appeal for, of course, travelers, but also even kind of locals? And as a corollary to that, you know, you mentioned earlier the users and the restaurants. How are restaurants then kind of utilizing that tool to market themselves to those kind of high intent users and searchers?
Yeah, people come to TripAdvisor for travel research, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. It's core to what we are, you know, and we want to make sure that within that travel research, people are finding the right restaurants when they're doing the planning months in advance, and also when they're in destination, when they're walking around the streets of Paris and need somewhere to eat in an hour. We want to be right there for them. What's really evolved over time is what you were saying earlier, local research. So we've gotten so good at producing the kinds of content that people want, user-generated content, our reviews and photos and other pieces of content on the site, that people are now using us more and more for local research. I found this when I was having conversations with owners, when I was having conversations with diners right after I started. So we actually created a study to look at what portion of our traffic for restaurant research is happening locally versus about travel, you know, close to home, far away from home. And we found that nearly 30% of the restaurant research in the U.S. is for close to home dining. Hmm. In the U.K., that number is close to 60%. So we need to not only understand that, we need to invest in our product and make it really good at nearby search, because that's what people are using us for. And then we need to share with restaurant owners that we have these high intent diners that are researching close to home just before they eat, walking around on their phones, making a decision right there, and that we have products that will help those owners showcase their restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned a lot of numbers there. I appreciate the kind of quantitative analysis there. Let's stick with some numbers because we heard you present some numbers at the Brandify Summit, and you've also spoken at a few kind of Street Fight summits. Mm-hmm. What are the current kind of reviews volumes? Because it seems very impressive, the sheer volume of reviews you've been able to assemble, and then also the number of restaurants. I think there are some few good nuggets in there in terms of, you know, what the current stats look like.
Yeah, it changes so rapidly that every time I'm going to have one of these conversations,
right, it's going to be bigger.
I need to go look it up again. Right. So we're over 700 million reviews across the whole site at this point. Wow. And we don't break that down by category. Mm-hmm. But we know that there are 200 million diners coming to research restaurants on TripAdvisor every month. You know, and that's looking at nearly 5 million restaurants. I think the number is 4.9 million restaurants on TripAdvisor. So we have, we're the world's largest restaurant research site, restaurant travel site. And diners are coming to us looking for everything. They're looking for local places to eat in non-travel destinations. They're looking for Michelin-starred restaurants in Paris, right? And for us to be the place for all of those different diners, we need to be a place that makes it very easy for people to post reviews and photos and tell other diners more and more about their experience so that when that next diner comes, they learn about the restaurant, they find research that helps set their expectations, and then they go to a restaurant and hopefully it beats their expectations.
Absolutely. So I want to get into a little more about that in terms of the actual kind of tangible influence you're seeing from kind of conversion rates and how customers are using those. But first, what we're going to do is pause for a word from our sponsors. So when we come back, more from Mark Golubowy. Hi everyone, this is Mike Bullen, lead analyst with Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Street Fight in 2019. So we've got lots of good things cooking and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So we're looking for guests on this podcast. We're looking for editorial contributions from thought leaders. We're looking for inspiring speakers at our events. And all of that really comes together in the rich mosaic that you've come to know as Street Fight's thought leadership in location-based media and advertising and commerce and innovation. And part of that formula are lots of opportunities to sponsor content and have your brand associated with that thought leadership. So stay tuned for lots more information and announcements for those rollouts, and reach out to us if you have any questions or want your voice heard in that chorus of narratives, including this podcast and messages like this one. So you can email me at michael@streetfightmag.com for more, and we're looking forward to working with you in 2019. So we're back. My guest is Mark Golubowy. So Mark, before the break, we were talking about some of the background in terms of reviews and not only that, but specifically with restaurants, which is, of course, a big component to TripAdvisor's business. So let's go a little bit deeper on that. I'm wondering how you're seeing reviews kind of tangibly influence customers that are either searching locally, as we talked about, or traveling, regardless of the context. What are the types of either conversion metrics or anecdotal evidence you're seeing that is kind of influencing their choices in positive ways?
Yeah, so the beauty of being a site like TripAdvisor is that people want to tell us, they want to help us get better. Mm-hmm. So we survey our users, we get phenomenal response from them. And they're able to tell us in detail what's good about TripAdvisor, where we have opportunities. But when it comes to asking them about how TripAdvisor influences their dining decision-making, it's overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we know is that when diners research a restaurant on TripAdvisor, 89% of the time they tell us that the restaurant meets their expectations. So that's something we're really proud of. And a lot of restaurant owners would think that one review, that one bad review is going to kill me. That one bad experience is going to be a huge problem for me on TripAdvisor. And what we share with them is that diners look at, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 reviews when they're researching. That's the way I act on the site. I don't let one review influence me. I want to make sure that's not someone that just doesn't like that restaurant or didn't have a good experience once. I want to get a representative view, so I look across many, many reviews. I'll also share that 91% of consumers in that study have dined at a restaurant as a result of a TripAdvisor ranking, review, rating. So they're telling us that they're not just going there to research the words. They're looking at the rankings, right? This is really important for us. We want to make sure that, you know, our five bubble system is helpful, that we are ranking restaurants appropriately, and the only way that happens is that because diners research and their expectations are met or exceeded. Mm-hmm. We know that restaurant photos influence their dining decisions at 72% of the time. On the owner side, we just need to share all this with them more. Owners think of TripAdvisor as a negative place. You know, they think that one review will kill them. And what they don't understand is that, you know, it's in the 90s percentage-wise, diners come to leave a positive review. You know, most of the reviews on TripAdvisor are 4 and 5 bubble. People will tell you in the text if they had an issue, but they're coming to TripAdvisor because it's a positive place to leave a positive review. And that's overwhelmingly true. It is a very positive place, and that's what you need to share more with owners.
Now, speaking of owners, how do a lot of those kind of observations and data points translate to tactics for the business owner? I've heard you talk in the past about certain specific things they can do to kind of optimize their presence, to use TripAdvisor and these reviews as a positive thing, as you mentioned, as opposed to their kind of, as you mentioned, a negative connotation they've had in the past. How do they spin that into a positive, and what are some of those tactics to, you know, respond to reviews, to manage reviews, all of those types of things to kind of get the most out of it?
Yeah, we are very focused on giving the owners, the restaurant owners, free tools that allow them to get better just by registering on TripAdvisor. So a restaurant owner can come in, identify themselves as owning or managing a restaurant. We call that claiming their restaurant. Once they're there, they get access to a management center that tells them exactly how they're doing on TripAdvisor. So we provide great analytics to them that show them their restaurant volume, show them all of their reviews, give them some tips and tricks on how to improve, right? They also get the ability to respond to reviews for free. They can upload photos. They can manage their information. You know, these are not your traditional marketers in a lot of cases. There are some owners that work with agencies, but a lot of them are just individuals who want to get their restaurant to be better recognized on TripAdvisor.
One of the things I heard you mention at the Brandivice Summit was there is a correlation in kind of time to responding, latency in responding to some of the kind of KPIs in some of the subsequent business success. Are there any tactics like that you've been observing, whether it be time, whether it be the business's attitude when responding, any kind of correlations or signals you're seeing that are success factors?
Yeah, what always bothers me is when I look back at a set of reviews, or I left a review, and the response is thanks. I just feel like there's so much better than that, right? You are the whole purpose of you responding is to show the diners that you're engaged. Whether it's the diner who left the review or diners who are coming later, you show them that you are an owner who cares about the diners. I mean, this is a real, like we talk about branding, this is a real branding opportunity, right? And when you go and respond to those reviews, you want to be very positive, whether the review is positive or negative. It could be the worst review in the world, and you want to be positive and constructive in your response. You want to acknowledge what the problem was and say that you will do your best to fix it and improve. And owners are very reticent to do that. They think that that's admitting that they're bad, and that's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. It really is important that they, you know, the review says had a terrible experience with a server. You know, the owner should say back, I'm sorry that you had that experience. We see when you are here, we will absolutely do our best to improve. Please come back and try us again. You know, and all of that constructive conversation back in a review, that quick response we recommend within 24 hours, just because it becomes a daily habit then. You know, if you say I'll get to that later, by the time that diner looks back, they don't have a response, you've lost them. Mm-hmm. Right? So the 24 hours is really behavioral. It's saying every day you should go and look at your reviews and respond to them. And we, you know, when you're a registered owner, you get an email every day that you get reviews. So some owners choose to get them weekly, and that's an option. But we are communicating all of this through our management center on our site, through email. We're making it very easy for owners to know when to go back. But they should be doing this daily.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are good kind of tactical takeaways for our audience. So we're going to pause there for another word from our sponsor. When we come back, more from Mark Golubowy. Hi everyone, this is Mike Bolin, lead analyst with Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Street Fight in 2019. So we've got lots of good things cooking and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So we're looking for guests on this podcast. We're looking for editorial contributions from thought leaders. We're looking for inspiring speakers at our events. And all of that really comes together in the rich mosaic that you've come to know as Street Fight's thought leadership in location-based media and advertising and commerce and innovation. And part of that formula are lots of opportunities to sponsor content and have your brand associated with that thought leadership. So stay tuned for lots more information and announcements for those rollouts, and reach out to us if you have any questions or want your voice heard in that chorus of narratives, including this podcast and messages like this one. So you can email me at michael@streetfightmag.com for more, and we're looking forward to working with you in 2019. So we're back. My guest is Mark Golubovic. So Mark, before the break, we were talking about lots of your kind of advice and tactical takeaways for restaurants to get the best out of reviews and to kind of optimize that to their benefit. So let's stay on that thread for a little while, because I think there are a lot of things that you have to say there. So what are some of the other kind of tactics and takeaways, things that you espouse normally in terms of how restaurants can get the best out of not just reviews, but your platform particularly?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we obviously focus on free tools. We want to be there for all restaurant owners around the world to showcase their restaurants on TripAdvisor just by registering. But once they've kind of maxed that out, we've listened to them, and what they've asked us for more of is exposure on TripAdvisor and conversion to their restaurant, right? They want to see diners engaged with them. So we actually have two products that we sell to restaurant owners. One is an advertising product that allows them to buy a sponsored placement in several places on our site, so that when those high intent diners are researching, they get that restaurant in their view, and they can make their decision from there of whether to look at that sponsored placement and go deeper or go down to the ranked list. We also have a branding product that helps restaurant owners convert some of that wonderful traffic that we have on TripAdvisor. So within that premium product, we give restaurants the ability to showcase their photos and reviews in a storyboard that's a slideshow of kind of all the things a restaurant owner would want to tell a diner about their restaurant. Mm. We give them an option to have the top three reasons to go there and highlight food or review quotes or photos that would help entice a diner to look deeper into that restaurant. And lastly, we allow them to pin a review in the second slot where they can find one review that they think really well represents the experience that a diner will have and have that be early in a diner's research. Mm-hmm.
I like that. I think that kind of freemium model, for lack of a better way to put it, is resonates a lot with the kind of comfort levels of small businesses and the way they like to kind of ease into things. And I think that's very interesting. Now, do you disclose pricing, or if not numbers, can you characterize for us, how that's priced? Is it variable? Is it tiered? Is it fixed? Is it monthly? Is it based on volume? How does that work?
Yeah, I'll share that the advertising model is cost per click. Mm-hmm. A lot of that depends on the geography you're in and the type of restaurant you are. So it's very dynamically set to be valuable for each restaurant owner. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a standard price across everything. When a restaurant owner logs in and starts to purchase the product, they see their pricing right up front. And we're selling on a cost per click, so they're just setting a budget and we're giving them those clicks. Mm-hmm. On the premium side, it's a subscription model, so they're paying us monthly or yearly for the ability to better showcase their restaurant. And then within their management center, when they turn on those products, they just get the metrics right next to the freemium metrics that showcase how they're doing with those products. So we understand that restaurant owners don't have a lot of time to manage these things. We try to make them very simple. We try to price them in ways that restaurants would want to buy them. And then we try to show them that they're working in their regular view, where they'd be going to respond to reviews or manage their information anyway.
Yeah, simplicity is so critical for small business marketing, how it's packaged and sold. I think that kind of monthly basis makes a lot of sense. And we always say that, you know, small businesses, you know, aren't naturally marketers, or most of them aren't. You know, they got into what they're doing because they love to cook or do construction or plumbing or whatever the case may be. And I think that that construct particularly is embodied in restaurateurs, because they're so busy. Sometimes, as you mentioned earlier, sometimes they're chef owners, sometimes they're a restaurant group. But in either case, it's usually such a frenetic pace of kind of operations day to day that the greatest amount of simplicity that you can infuse into your products is a success factor. Reviews are of course, you know, kind of challenging and contentious sometimes. Yelp famously struggles with lots of, you know, reviews, policing and fraud detection, and they get a lot of flack from that from all sides. So it can be contentious. You know, what are the challenges you guys face in that respect, and what kind of best practices would you point to in terms of striking that balance of, you know, having authenticity and user trust and business restaurant relationships? And
yeah, we know that there are people who try to game our system every day, and we have had focus on this for the entire history of TripAdvisor has been about keeping that stuff off of our site. So we know that what we have to offer those travel and dining researchers when they come to our site is great user-generated content, a community of people who care deeply about putting good content on our site. And we think we have the best anti-fraud detection and prevention in the business. I mean, we are looking at every review with machine code that's looking for any sign of that kind of fraud. We know that there is both positive and negative fraud patterns that we can find over and over again. Restaurant owners think that they are very sophisticated in this. We know that there are companies that are trying to sell this. And we're trying to tell owners that we are doing our best to keep that off of our site. We're shutting down companies that are selling those reviews because it's against the law in most places.
Yep.
And when we find anything that's at all questionable, we have teams of content reviewers who are looking at anything questionable and keeping it off of our site. Right. So that some of that is because machine has picked up a trend or a pattern that says we should look at it. And then we also invite owners and diners to flag anything they see as suspicious for someone to review. And every one of those gets reviewed by a human. So we're really proud that we focus with an outsized proportion of our company's effort on keeping that off of our site, because it's so important to us.
Yeah, it is a critical component. And as I said earlier, it's contentious. You have to walk a fine balance. So it's good to see that you're applying a lot of diligence towards that and a very deliberate strategy. We're going to shift now over from a discussion about business tactics, career lessons, all that, into kind of our lightning round. So starting off, what's something about you that few people know about?
I was on the U.S. ski team. I spent my junior and senior year of high school traveling all over the U.S. and Canada doing freestyle skiing and the U.S. NorAm Tour.
Wow. So what's the profession, or a profession, you'd want to have if you weren't doing what you're doing now?
Oh, that's great. I've always wanted to own a breakfast and lunch cafe. So I thought that was just kind of the perfect commitment level for me. I know how hard chefs work. We talk with chefs and chef owners, and they just, you know, it's more of a commitment than I've ever thought. But I love cooking. I love serving people. I was a waiter, when I was in high school and college, and I love restaurants.
So what is a tech startup or a company that you think it would be really exciting to be part of at the moment of inception?
Oh my God. I've heard Chris Sackick talk about the inception of Uber.
Oh, sure.
It was a bunch of them drinking in a hotel room overnight and saying we could go and conquer this whole industry. And then like a week later, they had a prototype. I mean, like the talent in that room, the investors, the success. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to hear all of those guys talking about how they were going to throw money together and conquer a market, you know. And when I look at Uber now, I see just endless potential for it. I think like Google is a search engine, Uber will be, you know, that thing they started with and still do well, and 1,000 other things over time.
So what's your favorite tech product or app that you like to use as a consumer?
Oh, that's a great question. I exercise in the mornings, and I like to do very different things. So I use MindBody to help discover new places to do yoga or spinning or fitness classes. You know, I've gotten into a fitness class called Orange Theory recently that I believe is national, but that's very popular here in this area. And I discovered that because of MindBody. And that's the app that probably is most positively affecting my life. I'll say it that way.
So who's someone from the business world that you admire most?
I just heard, and this might be recency bias, but I just heard Jack Dorsey talking about his singular focus at Twitter on enabling conversations. Mm-hmm. And it was so reminiscent of our conversations here about reviews. And I just thought he did a wonderful job, you know, putting on a pedestal the thing that was most important to his company, yeah. Right? Something that, you know, when I think of what TripAdvisor is, when I think about what Twitter is, we really are based in those two things and the communities that generate them. And if Twitter didn't have conversations and TripAdvisor didn't have reviews, none of the other stuff would matter, right? So when I heard Jack Dorsey talking about this and talking about kind of how they think about, you know, protecting that and giving their community more options on how to have those conversations, but not getting out of their staying their lane, as it may be, I thought that was really important. I really liked the way he said that. So yeah. Again, a little bit of recency bias because I was on a podcast this week, mm-hmm. but I loved hearing about that.
That's great. And Dorsey is a big proponent of and student of small business dynamics, partially due to his upbringing. And that's really that's the inception of Square is because of that, like enablement for SMBs. So very interesting. So what superhero power would you most want to have?
I'd love to stop time. If I could stop time and just take a minute to get, you know, everything settled the way that I want it to perfectly move forward, I think that would be my superhero power.
That's great. And that's a great way to end it. So that's all the time we have. I want to thank you, Mark, for spending time with us.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. And stay tuned for future episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and also stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.